Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's teaching. Here at Indian Creek Community Church, we exist to lead people to experience real life in Jesus. We're all about freedom, grace, love, growth, and mission. We hope you experience that today.
If you haven't yet had the chance to join us, we encourage you to come out every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. We'd love to have you. And if you'd like more information about the church, that's available at www.indiancreek.org. Please feel free to reach out with any questions you have. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Good morning, everyone. How are we today? Everybody kind of coming out of the turkey coma? Yeah? Good. How many of you were able to say no to that second helping of mashed potatoes and gravy? Anybody? All five of you. Well done. And then how about some of us, were we able to say no to doorbusters? I need to know. Were we able to say no to doorbusters? How many of you said yes to doorbusters? A couple of you. Yes. Come on. Come on now. It has been, perhaps for your family, a fun-filled weekend, certainly for mine. Sarah and I had the opportunity to drive up to Illinois, which is something we've never done, married and Thanksgiving. We've always lived too far away, and so we drove up to Illinois and then came back yesterday, had a great time. Sarah's parents and my parents live within 10 minutes of each other of a drive, and so we did my family at lunch and her family at dinner. Worked out really well, and we ate way too much. So here we are on this Thanksgiving weekend, and we have the opportunity now to look ahead to Christmas. Some of you perhaps even have your Christmas decorations already up. I drove by, all of my neighbors are already to go, and I am not because I was out of town, so I'll be working on that perhaps later today or tomorrow. And as we get ready for this Christmas season, one of the benefits that we have is coming to a gathering on Christmas Eve that is truly memorable, not only for us, but for many in our community as well, for friends and for family as they come into town perhaps and you start making those holiday plans. This year, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, and so we will be hosting a gathering at 10:30, just like normal, and then a duplicate at 5 p.m. So depending on if you have that tradition where you typically come to our service in the evening, you can continue to remain with that tradition if you'd like to come at 10:30. However, if you come at 10:30 and at 5, it's a duplicate. And so you can look for all the idiosyncrasies of the ways in which it's different from one to the other. Or you can just show up to one and not the other. We would love to have you be a part of that celebration. However, there is another tradition that we're going to be starting for the first time this year, and that happens on December 23rd. It will always happen on December 23rd. It's more of a tradition that has happened throughout Christianity in many what we would call traditional churches, in which we all know the Advent wreath, the candles that are lit. There is a special candle that is reserved for the 23rd of December in those liturgical calendars, and it is what we call Blue Christmas. A blue candle comes out, it's lit, no other candles are lit that night, and it happens on the longest night of the year, December 23rd. It's a healing service. We call it Blue Christmas, but it's designed for those who have experienced loss this year, that find the holidays particularly challenging, while others are celebrating their mourning. Perhaps they've lost a loved one, or a friend, or a job, or a home. Any form of loss that would make the holidays difficult, we want to provide a special place for people to come. So we're going to gather in the atrium in the round at 6 p.m. on December 23rd, and we'd love to invite you to come and to invite any friends and family that you know that may be having a very challenging year this year come the holidays. We hope that it's not just a place to mourn, but a place to heal. You see, this season of Advent that we start next week, it literally means arrival, and it's a longing and a hoping and a waiting for Christ to come. In the early church, this Advent season put almost all of its emphasis on Christ's return, as opposed to the first Advent around the manger scene. Now we put so much emphasis on the manger scene that we often forget that much of this season is to anticipate Christ's return when all things will be renewed and restored. And so for us to enter into a space of healing is to enter into this space of Advent, to long for his return and for all things to be made right. It's not to try and solve all of the world's problems or to make right all the things that happen to us throughout the course of the year, but to come and to heal together. And so we hope that you can join us on the 23rd and on the 24th for a very special celebration together. It's going to be a great season here at Indian Creek. Well, we are concluding our series entitled Missio Dei, The Mission of God, as we talk this morning. What my hope for so many of us today is that we would be able to walk forward understanding that the mission of God doesn't just happen at home. The mission of God doesn't just happen in my work. It doesn't happen on a meta idea, but it happens through me. That for whatever reason, God seeks to work his way through me. He wants to accomplish his good in this world through me. And so I want you to, in a sense, personalize this morning. If you're trying to wrestle through what your call may be in this life, you may be 10, you may be 30, you may be 130, and you're still trying to figure it out. If you've wrestled at all with what your life's calling might look like, I'm hoping today, even though we only have limited time, that you're going to walk away with a few next steps of how to discern how it is that God wants to work in and through you. Now, what if I told you that this last weekend really does center on the core of what God has called us to? The chief and primary calling of all Christians. Now, you might say, okay, yeah, sure, gratitude or Thanksgiving, turkey, Black Friday, I'm not really sure. What I'd say to you is the primary call of every Christian in this room and around the globe is this call to receive. And what I mean when I say receive is to receive this idea that you were made not only into the image of God, but that he has called you his son or his daughter. And when you're understanding this inheritance that you've received, you understand this is not a thing that you can earn in any way, shape, or form. Because you can't earn an inheritance. You only receive an inheritance. People will show up at the end when a will is being dished out and they'll try and find out what it is that they're going to receive, but they realize they can try and earn and earn and earn their way onto a will or onto a trust, but it's just not possible that that's something that is only received. And so for us today to understand first and foremost that our call as Christians is to receive is of chief importance to understanding the calling that God has placed for us. I want you to open up your Bibles real quick to Galatians chapter 3. And it says this in verse 26. You can read on the screen. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Paul goes on to talk about this idea that we are all called to be his children and that nothing we have done has the ability to earn our way into the good graces of our God. Now, sometimes receiving can be difficult, but then over time, what I found is that receiving becomes quite automatic. This last week, I'm there with my parents, I'm in their home, and I am surprised how quickly I turn back into a teenager living in their home. Like, suddenly I forget how to do dishes, and I forget how to clean up after my kids. I just expect it to be done. And then about 12 hours into my stay, I went, oh, I kind of snapped out of it, and I thought, no, that's not what this life is all about. Sometimes we get into a place of receiving because we are the kids of the house, because we do understand that God has paid the price, that all we ever do is receive. Our culture is filled with professional consumers. We're filled with professional consumers. We have this pervasive belief that the more that we have, the better our lives will be. As I'm there at the Thanksgiving table, I'm spending time with people as professional consumers. My dad out with the Black Friday circulars. My cousin discussing the age-old debate, Samsung or Apple. We've got now price aggregators and price consumers and comparisons and consumer reports that are trying to lean us into this idea that you can be the most efficient consumer possible. How many of you know that many of us are great consumers, but we don't actually create anything? We don't create, we consume. And as a culture, God hasn't just called us in to a consumeristic lifestyle. Yes, sure, receiving is of chief importance and it's part of our primary call. But beyond that primary call, we are called into something more. And if you only understand what it means to receive and never what it means to be used of God, then you've only understood half of what it means to be a Christian. I'd say this, the secondary call of a Christian is to live out their individual calling. It's this idea that God has made you unique. You're unique. Each person in this room has been given a particular set of gifts and skills and talents and abilities. You live in an age that no one else has lived before you or will live after you. You live in a location on this planet that makes your experience unique. You go to a job that makes your experience unique. The way that God has created you is unique. It's beautiful. And God wants to use each one of us as a mosaic through the way in which we've been created and gifted to touch this world. So I want you to know today that if you've walked in and you've just asked questions about your value, your significance, perhaps somebody invited you here this morning for the first time, we want you to understand that a very real God created you, loves you, has made you unique, has called you his own, and has called you into a purpose that is greater than yourself. He's called you into something that perhaps you don't fully even realize or believe could possibly flow out of your life. And yet God's desire for you is that you would experience the very best that this life has to offer by living in the place of uniqueness that he's called you into. A couple of weeks ago, we had a service that we called Find Your Place Sunday, in which we encouraged you to come in to hear about some of the great things that are happening in the life of our community, and then to go out into the atrium to sign up to be involved in the several places that we see as being really valid ways to use your gifts. And we just kind of tiptoed into this idea of gifts, this idea of your uniqueness, that I want to dive in just a little bit deeper on this morning to help us understand what it means to live within that secondary calling. So let me remind you of a couple of things. First, I want you to remember that the gifts that God gives, the spiritual gifts that each one of us has, are not gifts that are built on our works or built on how good we are, but they're built on God's grace. Spiritual gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity, meaning the most spiritual among us, the ones who are seen as being the super Christians, are not the only ones with spiritual gifts. That spiritual gifts are of equal value, all play some vital role. So some of us go, man, I'm not a singer, I'm not a teacher, I'm not on the stage, I don't have the same value. No, we would say all play some vital function. Gifts are to be used for others and not just for yourself. So if you've ever thought, man, I think I'm pretty good at that, or I've been given a gift in this area because someone else has recognized it in my life, it's not just for you. Gifts don't excuse you from servanthood, meaning there are things that you're going to do that don't lean in to things that you're excited about or gifted into. You just do them because they're dirty jobs that need to be done. Like I say, it's nobody's job to rake the leaves in my backyard. We just have to do it. Gifts color and impact what we see and what we value. Gifts should be valued and sought after. What I want you to know is that Paul thought so much of it that throughout the New Testament, he gives us three lists of spiritual gifts. He writes to various churches talking about the idea that you have been given gifts. The first list that he gives us is in Romans chapter 12, and we call them the motivational gifts. These are gifts that give us a passion to serve one another. Paul says this in verses 6 through 8. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. The first thing you should notice when you read this passage, and let's just leave that passage on the screen for an extra minute, is that Paul's talking about a different measure of grace given, and that this is the lens in which our gifts are given to us. That every one of us didn't deserve the gifts that we have, but Paul is saying that God himself gave us gifts as an extension of his grace. Now, grace is what? Grace is unmerited favor. That means that you didn't earn any of those things that God has given to you. You didn't earn your birthday. You didn't earn the family that you ended up in. You didn't earn the gifts that you have. Paul is saying this. He's saying all of those things are an extension of God's grace to you. In the same way, the gifts that you've been given are an extension of God's grace to you. So before you think, man, if I just improve myself or what our culture subscribes to, like self-actualization, saying I'm going to just be the best version of me possible, and that's going to be everything that I need. Instead, Paul is saying God has given you specific gifts. Just lean into those gifts. That's okay. You may see them as secondary, but he's saying, no, 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 those things matter. They're an extension of God's grace given to you. This is good stuff. He's saying that these gifts are going to be used in radically different ways. So there's going to be gifts that meet practical needs. There's going to be encouragement that champions and celebrates others. There's going to be gifts of leadership that provides vision and direction. Gifts of mercy, personal and emotional care. You know those people with gifts of mercy because they're constantly coming up to you going, how you doing? They're leaving you little gifts outside of your doorstep. They're stepping up and calling you when it's least expected and leaning into those spaces that nobody else seems to lean into. They offer you things that sometimes you don't even deserve. They provide you with the care that's needed. Now, throughout the years as a pastor, I've had the privilege of sitting down with person after person, talking to them about their life's calling, what they're passionate about. And, you know, sometimes I think I've got people pegged. I go, you know what? I really see this inside of you. And they go, oh, no, I don't feel passionate about that at all. And I go, really? You don't feel passionate about children, or you don't feel passionate about music, or you don't feel passionate about changing the world in this sector or this industry? No, I don't feel passionate about any of those things. Well, what is it that you really feel passionate about? And they lean into something like, I feel passionate about 7-inch dolls, you know? And you're just like, what? That has nothing to do with anything. But they just go, the most random things that causes them to lean into a place of passion. And so I would say that some of these gifts are going to unlock that, but it's not going to tell the full story. Instead, what these gifts, these particular gifts in Romans tend to do is they tend to show us particular ways of service that we find ourselves in the life of the church. Maybe it's a gift of mercy. Maybe it's a gift of leadership. Maybe it's a gift of prophecy where we just seem to hear from God and have the ability to speak life into other people. There's various gifts that God gives us. The second list that Paul gives is a list found in Ephesians chapter 4. And we talked a little bit about this on that Find Your Place Sunday. We call these the ministry gifts. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, Paul is talking again to a different church. And he says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So if the first gift, the first set of gifts helps us understand some of the places that we serve, this instead helps us understand the positions that we serve within the church. There's the apostles, those who love to start new initiatives. The prophets, those who hear clearly from God. The evangelists, the ones who love to share their faith. The pastors, those who care for others almost seamlessly. The teachers, those who love to discover and share new truths. We would say this, the apostles love to focus on tomorrow and birth new initiatives. They love that. If you have a prophetic gift, perhaps you love to focus on today in light of tomorrow and hear clearly from God. Sometimes for yourself and sometimes for others. The evangelists in the room love to focus on the urgency of today. If you've ever met an evangelist before, they walk in and they go, what are we doing today? And you're like, I don't know. Why are you so intense? You have these questions about evangelists sometimes, but they're intense because they go, today may be the last day before God returns. And they love to open the door of faith to others. We need them. Pastors love to focus on the demands of today by meeting the needs of others. Sometimes pastors go, well, what are we going to do for them? And you go, who? Them. You know, that person who just walked in 5 minutes ago, that just by the way that they carry themselves have needs. Do you know they have needs? No, but I think they have needs because everybody has needs. And they're immediately there trying to meet the needs of that individual. You see, some of us are just wired in particular ways. God has made us uniquely. Teachers love to focus on integrating today and tomorrow. They're not just focused on what we're learning today, but where that's taking us tomorrow by instructing people. All right, let me help you get from point A to point B. Let me help you understand a new truth that's going to expand your world and give you a new appreciation or understanding for something that God has created or even who God is. That you know that you find yourself in one of these spaces. You know you do. And most people that I meet find themselves in maybe even two or three of these spaces. For instance, I have an apostolic edge where I love new initiatives and to lead people into their destiny. I have an evangelistic edge where I love the idea of those things that are urgent and leading people into a space where they're invited to the table to know God today. This is what apostolic people are constantly asking. They're asking the question, are we leading the people of God to their destiny? You may be asking that question. How are we leading the people of God to their destiny even in this space? Again, a very intense question, but it's an important question. Others of us have more of a prophetic gift, and we go, are people hearing God's voice and responding appropriately? Jay, I don't care if people are going into their destiny. I just want to know that in this space, people are hearing from God. Well, man, perhaps you're leaning into a prophetic space. Other people go, are new people entering the kingdom of God? This is what the evangelist constantly asks. Are new people entering the kingdom of God? Do people know the truth of Jesus for themselves? The pastoral people are asking the question, are the people of God receiving the nurture and care? How do we know that people are being cared for in this space? I mean, everybody's facing the pastor. Is everybody being cared for? I hope so. And teachers are asking, are the people of God immersing themselves in scripture and obeying it? Like, he has not cracked open the scripture enough for me in order to really have church. And so each one of us are absolutely needed in the body of Christ. And when all five of those gifts are being used, we begin to see the very best, the building up, as Paul says, of the church on display for us. The final list that I give you is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's what we call the manifestation gifts, meaning like these spaces in which God intersects, those thin spaces in which the supernatural and the natural come together. Paul says this to the church in Corinth. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of these tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now we go, listen, I don't have any problem with the first two lists, but this is the list that kind of causes the most division I found in the church. And it's because it's our interaction with the supernatural. And that's really funny to me because sometimes we love the idea of separating the natural from the supernatural because we can't control the supernatural. But instead, I think I want to be in a church that leans in to all that God wants for me. And I am not about to step back here and go, well, God can do that and he can't do that and he feels like doing that. No. I want everything that God has for me and I am open to any method that God wants to use in order to get that message across to me. I believe in a very supernatural God who worked then and works today. Now, let me take you through the gifts that were described within 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He starts out by giving us what we call and what theologians call the revelation gifts that show us God's mind. These wisdom gifts, these knowledge gifts, these discernment gifts. He's saying wisdom, knowledge, discernment, they speak to God's mind and they give us an understanding of what God's thinking and what his will is through clarity. Some of us walk into places and we don't know exactly what to do. And God brings wisdom into our midst and provides us with clarity to be able to move forward in a supernatural way. We don't need to be afraid of that. In a very natural way, God can work in a supernatural way, if that makes any sense. It gives us God's mind. The next group of gifts that Paul lays out, theologians have called God's hand. They're the power gifts. Faith, miracles, healings, each and every week. People will write down prayer requests and they'll ask, God, will you heal my cousin? Will you heal my aunt? Will you heal my neighbor? And we will pray into those places the prayer of faith, believing that God will work miraculously in their lives, regardless of the situation. And so we step into those spaces by faith, believing that God will work supernaturally through his power expressed into those spaces. And I go, yes and amen. I've experienced and been a part of watching people go through physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. And then there's the speech gifts that show us God's voice, the tongues, the interpretation, the prophecy. What Paul later on says is he says, don't go after the tongues, go after the prophecy, go after this longing in our hearts to be able to speak truth into the lives of people. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he goes on to talk about this idea, saying if everybody spoke in tongues and a non-believer came in, he goes, you're out of your mind. But he said, if they walk into a room like that and someone speaks truth into their situation, will they not repent and turn their attention to Christ? And so there are moments in time where we need to be able to speak in a way that instructs the world that they need to come back to God, that God longs for them to come back, and that he longs to save them and redeem them fully. My hope for each one of us, whether it be the gifts of the mind, of the heart, or of the voice, of the mouth, is that we would lean in without fear or anxiety about what a very natural world that longs to close off the supernatural, a secular age that loves to live within the five senses and close the door to the transcendent, seeks to limit us to, and never find ourselves as the church powerless because we do not open the doors and the gates that look up and realize a very real God longs to interact with each one of us. For each one of us this morning, those gifts are a huge clue to the way that God has gifted you and what your life calling is going to look like. If you have a gift of prayer and intercession, you need to use it. You need to step into those spaces. If you have a gift of caring for others, why not do it on a team as opposed to doing it ad hoc on your own? I know that it's difficult to understand what your life calling is, and perhaps this morning specifically, you walked in here and you were at a crossroads in your life of trying to figure out what you're supposed to do, whether you're supposed to go to college or whether you're to change careers or whether you're to get married or whatever it is, and you're just going, God, help me figure out what exactly you want of my life in this next season. So I don't have the magic bullet. I'm not going to, you know, wave a magic wand over you and just solve all of your problems. But what I do hope is that I can give you a couple of things to think about as you walk out, specifically if you're at that crossroads. And if you're not at that crossroads, you may want to write it down, because as you go through life, you're going to end up at a crossroads of needing to make a pretty pivotal decision, maybe every 5 to 10 years, trying to figure out which way God is trying to take you. There's three tests I want you to remember. The first test is what we call the passion test. I want you to simply ask the question, if you're at that crossroads this morning, what is it that I have passion for? What are the things that I really care about in the world? Sometimes we have passion for things because bad things have happened to us. And we just go, you know what? I've had bad things happen to me and I don't want anybody else to go through that. And so that becomes the passion of our life. Other times, for us, it's a passion that's come just through prayer or through living life, becoming aware of something that a friend has made us aware of over a lunch. But we have a specific passion for something. The second question I want you to ask yourself is the question, what do others think I can do? This is called the community test. I call it the American Idol test. I called the American Idol test because, well, American Idol was the first one to broadcast all of these people who thought they could sing on TV, showing us that not everybody who thinks they can sing can sing. How many of you enjoy that more than anything else? I kind of do, all right, if I'm honest. I know it's other people on stage kind of going, oh, you know, that I feel so bad for them. But wouldn't it be great if they had gone through and not just asked the passion question, but then asked the community question? Mom, Dad, do you really think I can sing? See, there are things that you may have a passion for and maybe think you even have a spiritual gift for, but the people around you just don't see it in you. And so it's healthy for you to ask the community question. You may be afraid to ask the community question for somebody to turn around and say, you can't do this, but instead perhaps ask the question, what is it that you see flowing out of my life that I'm just good at? That may sound arrogant to you, but I think it's a really important question. Proverbs 15 tells us what? That in a multitude of counselors, there is much wisdom. So let's enter into spaces of community to help us discern the next step in our calling. Then the final question, we've got this idea of passion, this idea of community, and then we've got this idea of opportunity. What has God given me the opportunity to do today? Not tomorrow, not in 5 years. I know we'd all love to be somewhere else than we currently are today. It's very hard to stay in a space of contentment. But what are the opportunities that God has given you today? What opportunities have come across your table that it's time for you to step into? You've been waiting for something else, but God's saying, no, I actually have this in mind for you for the next 2, 3, or 4 years to prepare you for the thing that you really want to do that's in your heart. Passion, community, opportunity. To start leaning into your calling. It's not going to be foolproof. It's not going to get you all the way there. But what I am hoping this morning is that you don't just live into a space of consumption of your faith, but you live into a space of creativity. Let's move from being consumers to being creators. We are never more like our Father in heaven than when we are creating. He has made us into his image. He's called us his sons and daughters. That means we carry his DNA, and we carry the DNA of a creative God. So let's step into those spaces of creativity. Sometimes we think that to step into that, to step into our full calling, means we've got to start a nonprofit or we've got to do something really, really big. But what if you just walked away from here and said to create doesn't mean creating anything over the top. Creating just means something small every day. How about creating a conversation? Could you create a conversation? Instead of looking for that conversation to come, just create the conversation. A couple weeks ago, I'm in line at one of these coffee shops in the area, and as I make my way through, the barista's there, and we start talking. The line has kind of gone down, and he just looked nervous. And I said to him, is there something going on? I mean, when do you get off work? I'm just trying to chit-chat with him. And then it finally came out that he had a big test, and he said to me, just kind of under his breath, he goes, I mean, it's a big test for another job to get out of this one. Please don't tell my manager. And I said, oh, okay. So he says, 3 o'clock. I'm really nervous. And I just said to him in that moment, creating the moment, do you mind if I pray for you before you go into that space? And he looked around and he goes, if you do it quick. And so I did. I took the moment to pray for him. And he just looked up, and that 30-second prayer, his countenance changed almost immediately. I said, do you feel better? He goes, yeah, like surprised that he felt better. It was almost like the rush of the peace of God in the midst of that small interaction that radically shifted something in him, and he knew that God was with him. See, creating versus consuming, we don't have to create big things in order to step into those spaces that God's called us to. Sometimes God's just called us into a conversation. Sometimes he's just called us into a situation. He's called us into something momentarily, and he's going, that's exactly why I made you and gave you breath for today, was for that moment. And I wonder today if we could step out of those spaces of just our primary call to be sons and daughters, and into that space where we allow the mission of God to flow through us. I can't solve all of your problems about what you're to do with your life next week or in 3 years, but I can challenge you. Why not look to the gifts that you have? Why not lean into the passion that he's given you? Why not consult the community around you? And why not seize the opportunity he's given you? As we conclude in prayer and conclude this series, the mission of God for each one of us is going to look both the same and radically different. And I want to pray for you and commission you into this Christmas season to go forward with a blessing upon your lives, to make that impact wherever you go. People right now are becoming more and more spiritually aware as we enter the Christmas season. God's going to give you opportunities with family members and friends. He's going to give you opportunities with people like your neighbors, like those in Starbucks lines and other coffee shop lines that you find yourself in. I wonder if you're aware. I wonder if you're ready for it. As I pray for you, I ask that you simply receive this blessing and this commissioning to go forward the way that Paul received it as he went forward on his missionary journey, the way that the disciples went forward as Jesus sent them out, that you would go forward by faith and with hope in your hearts of his return, knowing that he has called you, he has gifted you, he has secured you as his own. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we stand in this space recognizing that you have given us all things. We are products of your grace. Today, I ask for wisdom, not only for myself, but I ask for wisdom for the people of this church. Those who have had spiritual gifts that have lied dormant for years, I ask that they would, like a resurrection, be birthed inside of them. Father, for those who find themselves in spaces of hopelessness, I pray that you would breathe hope into them. For those who have experienced a lack of faith, I pray that you would provide them with the measure of faith necessary in this next season. And Lord, more than all things, we ask that you would fill us with your love. Lord, I now bless your people. I ask for your protection and your provision over them. For those who are dealing with circumstances beyond their control, I pray that you would bring contentment in all things. And I thank you for the calling that you have placed on each one of our lives. Bring clarity, bring freedom, and bring the courage to step into the spaces that you've called us into in this next season. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, as we conclude our gathering, we're going to take time to worship and to praise and to honor. And what I'd like you to do in this space is to do so in such a way that you just go, God, everything that you've given me is an extension of grace. The breath that I breathe, the gifts that I have, everything that I have. And so as I worship you today, I worship you from a space of gratitude, from a space of thankfulness. It just says, God, thank you for all that you have given to me. God, I don't deserve what I have, but I have what I have, and so I want to use it to the best of my ability, knowing that you don't just give gifts for them to sit dormant, but you give gifts for them to be used for your glory. And as you sing and lift up your voice as a shout of praise to God, you do so perhaps knowing that not everything is right in your world, but you do so with a belief in your heart that God is greater than all of those things and that he's the one who deserves your worship this morning. Not where you go for lunch or what you do later on in the day, or even yourself, but he's the one who deserves your worship. So let's stand together. Our team is gonna lead us in song, and we're gonna leave this space celebrating our God together.